Okay, so we're going to start here on Daf Chaf Zayin Amud Beis on 27b at the Mishnah. That's where I was told you guys are up to. So hopefully, if not, then next week we'll get an opportunity to catch up. There are extra source sheets here if anybody needs. Far too many by the looks of it. Okay, so... Well, maybe you can't burn it, actually, as we'll see. Says the Mishnah, the first Mishnah, it's about between a third and halfway down the Amud. Behema shemesa, if an animal has died, lo yazizena mimekoma, you cannot move it from its place, it is muktza. Umaaseh, there was a story that happened. How exciting. Umaaseh v'shaaluas Rabbi Tarfon alai, I was very excited about Rabbi Tarfon's story. Whenever everybody gets a story, everybody perks up, so here, the blackberry perked up. And there was a story where they asked Rabbi Tarfon aleha about an animal that had died, ve'al hachala shenitmes, and about chala which had become tame, chala which was taken off, meaning, and then at some point later it came into contact with Toma. And what happened? V'nichnas l'beis hamidrash, he entered the study hall, v'shaal, and he asked the chachamim there, ve'amru lo, lo yazizei mimekoman, you cannot move them. Now, the focus of the Mishnah is still about animals, but all of the discussion here gets back to this little point about chala shenitmes, which is not actually discussed in the Gemara, really, at length, but Rashi gives us an idea as to why it might be muktza. Why? Because in order to be muktza, we can't have any use for it whatsoever over yantif. That being the case, so here we go. Rashi says, Eina re'uya lekohen hayom. It is not fit for a kohen hayom. Not really fit for a kohen ever. Why? D'haba achila asura la'olam. It's never permitted to be eaten because it's tame. So, not fit for the kohen. Okay, you can't eat it. Therefore, from that aspect of its usability, it's not usable on yontif. So far, so good. Let's continue. Uve hasaka. O lisita lekalbo biyom tov asur. Now, here are other two options. Option number two is to burn it. And option number 2.5, really, is to give it to your dog, to give it to your animals to eat, meaning to get rid of it in a way that's not burning. And these are not allowed. Why? De'ein mivarin kodshim tmeim in ha'olam biyom tov. You are not allowed to be mivar, which we'll say burn, but really it means dispose of or destroy kodshim and take them out of the world on yom tov, even v'afilo al yedei achilas behema. Even if you just have your animal eating it, d'kaimalan, as we've established, she'ein sarfim kachim b'yom tov. You can't burn kachim on yom tov. V'lo tema dafka sreifa. Now Rashi is going to start really the intense discussion of the day, which is Rashi's already told us that the reason why there's no use for it on yom tov whatsoever, because you can never eat it, it's tamei, and you can't burn it because it's yom tov, and you can't even give it to your dog because it's yom tov. Now maybe, Rashi's thinking, is what we're going to respond, why can't you give it to your dog?
Yeah.
Why? What's the problem with giving it to your dog on yontif? What malacha is that? You're allowed to feed your pets on yontif. Yeah. So why can't you give this chala tmeah to a dog? So Rashi suggests, v'lo tema dafka sreifa, don't tell me it's dafka sreifa, mishum dehavara shelo letzarech hi, de'ain madlikin v'shem en sreifa b'yontif. So Rashi says, first of all, I'll prove to you that don't think it's just about Havara. Why? Because we see you can't even light b'shemen sreifa b'yom tov. What's shemen sreifa? Anybody know?
Truma?
Excellent. Truma tmeya oil. You're not allowed to light with that on yontif. Despite the fact that havara l'tzorachi d'hadlakas ner b'yom tov tzorach achilahi. Technically on yom tov, you're for sure allowed to light a candle in your house. That's considered soref achila. And yet, we know that the halacha very clearly is you can't use truma tmeya oil in that candle, despite the fact that it's being used letzorach achila. So this would be something that's completely allowed.
Isn't allowed to use truma srefa? Isn't he allowed to use it? Isn't that part of the mitzvah that you're allowed to...
To use it, maybe not on yantif, though. You're not allowed to burn...
No.
This is a set halacha.
So yeah, but why can't... I'm asking a question. There's a mitzvah road to... Isn't there a mitzvah for him?
I'm not giving those away so easy.
Truma. No, yeah, mitzvah is a deraisa.
Yeah, but
what about it?
Okay, so that's one answer, but it also feels like, you know, that. Anyways, go on.
Yeah.
So sorry, I kind of missed that. What did he say? Why you can't feed it to your dog? Or we haven't said that yet.
We haven't focused on giving it to a dog. Okay. Basically, burning kachin tomatoes is prohibited because it's unnecessary havara. And again, we've proven from the fact that even litzorech, even when you have, again, some sort of need that would allow you to do such a malacha as burning on Yom Tov, you're still not allowed to burn your truma tmeah. Okay, so we see that it's not really about the malacha that you can't do on Yom Tov, because there you'd be allowed to do it. So Rashi's saying, right, Havar l'tzorech d'lakas ner b'Yom Tov tzorech achila hi, umuteres, afilu hachi b'shemen sreifa lo, v'ushemen truma shenitmeis, as we said earlier, digzera sakasufis. Now here says Rashi is the point. Rashi's trying to prove why is it that you can't feed it to your dogs. He says very simple. Don't think that it's just that the Torah prohibits it because it's a malacha on Yom Tov, because even when it's not a malacha, such as when it's l'tzorech, and it's allowed, you're still not allowed to do it. Therefore, he says, even feeding it to your dog is going to be aser. Now, what's the reason for that? He's just proven it to us from another case, but he hasn't given us the reason why that's prohibited. So now he does. And Rashi says, Digzeras hakasufi. It is a gzeras hakasuf. We have a pasuk, and that's what it tells us. She'ein kachim tmeim mitbarim b'yom tov. That kachim tmeim, any kachim which have become tame, cannot be consumed in some way on Yom Tov. Dirachmana achshiva lehav arasan. That the Torah gave it status, gave their burning, gave their really destruction some sort of status. Dichtiv ba'eshi saref, as says in the pasuk, vayikra zayin, and we're going to see the pasuk which some people quote here is completely inaccurate. There's two psukim very close to each other in vayikra zayin that say ba'eshi saref. One is about nosar, which is leftover carbon material after its time, that has to be burned. And the other one is about kachim that became tameh. That's the one that we're quoting, despite the fact that people mix them up. So this is Zion Yud Tes, not Zion Yud Zion, like you'll see in certain sources on our source sheet. So therefore, he says, because the Torah calls it Ba'ishi Saref, and that's referring to any method, really, of destroying kachim tameh. Right, because if we're assuming that you're allowed to feed it to your dog, that's equivalent to burning it. Right, we're just trying to get rid of it. So therefore, Rashi says the Torah is giving this status of malacha in some way, and that's really what we're going to destroy. Hilchak malacha hi. Therefore, it's a malacha. You're not allowed to do this on Yom Tov. Okay, here's Rashi. Now, especially this end part, Rashi is incredibly hard to understand. What is it that you're doing wrong by feeding it to your dog? He still didn't say anything. He said Rachmana achshave. This, whatever you're doing, what's his lashon here? Lahavarasan. The Torah gives it status in some way, and therefore it's a malacha. What malacha? Who malacha? How malacha? If it's a malacha that's allowed, it's going to be allowed. If it's not allowed, it's not going to be allowed. And how is it that the Torah turns something like a dog eating it into a malacha? What malacha could it possibly be? That's going to be a lot of what we're exploring.
Okay, what is the case of the challah? In other words, when was the challah taken? This is on Yom Tov. This is challah that was taken before Yom Tov.
So it doesn't matter which one. I saw a discussion of this a little bit. It doesn't matter which one it is. Some of the Mefarshim say that in this case it doesn't matter. With the animal it does matter, and that's going to be a discussion in the Gemara. But here, even if it was before Yom Tov, there's still no use for it on Yom Tov. And you still can't have intended anything for it on Yom Tov. Meaning, when it's talking about the animals, we'll see in the Gemara, it's sort of what you may have had your mind on, the different shittos. But this is something that no matter what the circumstance, even if it was taken off on Yom Tov, you know, however that would work, it would still have the same status of cannot be used on Yom Tov whatsoever.
So the two cases, the animal and the challah, are two totally separate cases because they have different halakhic implications.
The animal death, yes. Yeah, okay. They're not two totally different cases. They are related in the fact that they have no use.
Muksa, okay.
Both will be muksa, but again, there will be slight differences with the cases, yes.
Is it considered, does the chinuch of the Rambam count the sreifa of the challah jidma as a mitzvah?
So I didn't check that up, actually. I would assume...
But truma is a mitzvah.
Well, I mean, certainly it doesn't count challah shenitma. That's nowhere in the Torah. This is only kachim
shenitmu. There is a mitzvah
shenitmu.
For truma that's shenitma, that you have to burn it. And in fact, according to most opinions, the kohen can have hana from the burning of the truma.
Okay.
So I'm just saying, so I don't know if Tuma is part of this whole Kachim thing, right?
Sure it is. These are, we're all talking here, the whole time we're going to be talking about Kachim Tmeim, Truma Tmeya, and Chala Tmeya. Chala and Truma are going to be learned out.
There might be different halachas.
Correct. So there are slightly different halachas, okay. And that's what we're going to see now in Tosfos. Tosfos is sort of a commentary on this Rashi,
right.
Quotes Rashi in some slightly different ways, modifies it a little bit, and then we can get off onto the really fun stuff. Okay.
So if it's a mitzvah, it's not a problem?
So if it's a mitzvah, that's for some reason, because the Torah says, Va'ish Yisareif, and says it's a mitzvah, that's for some reason going to make it not allowed on Yom Tov. We still don't know how or why. And that's, again, really what I'm going to try to explore today. Right.
That's a question, right?
Yeah. That's a question. Let's take a quick look at Tosfos. Yeah,
right.
The truth is, I'm fine not to go through Tosfos. You know what? I'll go through Tosfos outside quickly, because I don't want to spend too much time this year on this, especially if, from what I hear, it's quite a chatty crowd. Mm-hmm. So I'll just run you through Tosfos outside from my notes here. So, Chala, which is Tmeya's Mokta. Okay, number one, they say, they quote Rashi, and they are discussing Rashi to begin with. It can't be eaten because it's Tamei, so it's not fit for eating. So far, so good. That's the same as Rashi. Second of all, it's prohibited to burn Kachim Tmeim on Yom Tov, so it's not fit for burning this challah either. That's pretty straightforward. That's similar to what Rashi learned. Sort of now. We get, why can't you give it to a dog? Okay, which we see, and Tosfos actually brings you a case in Psachim, for Trumas Chametz, we see that you're allowed to burn that. That you'd be not only allowed to burn it, you'd be even able to give it to a dog. And that's going to be, we're going to get back to different sugyas in Psachim, but basically his point is that you can give chametz to a dog. Why can't you give your truma tmeya to a dog? So, at this point, Tosfos then jumps off and says, yeah, dinasina leklavo af al gav, she'en kam shum tarach zehu biuro. Okay? So he quotes Rashi's Svara, and he says the same idea. Any disposal would be considered a lacha due to the fact that Torah's machshev it by saying by Ishti Sareif that there's a mitzvah to burn, kachim tmeim. Now, Tosfos here now splits off with Rashi and asks an important question on Rashi, and this will be key to remember. Tosfos asks, says one second, the whole problem with burning it, according to Tosfos, based on what they're saying here, they say would have to be because of the tircha of setting up the fire, right? Tircha is something which is going to prohibit something because you have to put in too much effort and too much work to do it on Yom Tov. And in other words, despite that the pasuk is machshev it as a method of disposal, which makes it prohibited despite its tzorach, the whole reason why it's prohibited really has nothing to do with the pasuk, but rather with the effort put in. And if that's the case, and this is referring to burning, the whole reason why burning is prohibited is because of the tircha. If so, asks Tosfos, why not give it to the dog then? Giving it to the dog should be mutter. Meaning, even once you've done all your fancy achshavei footwork, you can't really compare the giving it to the dog to the burning, because giving it to the dog doesn't require any effort. You say, hey, Rover, fetch. Right? You don't have to light a fire and get firewood and all these different things, which is what makes lighting fire a tircha. Okay. So, Tosfos answers very differently than Rashi at this point. I mean, this is a question he's asking, that they are asking on Rashi. And they answer, the reason why it can't be given to a dog is because you're actually not allowed to give Truma Tmeya to a animal to eat. You can't do that.
Even
what?
Even Kachim, you
can't. Even Kachim, you can't. You just have to burn it.
Right.
It's not the same as chametz, unlike chametz. Chametz is just about getting rid of it, say
right.
Tosfos.
Okay.
But when it comes to Truma Tmeya, Kachim Tmeim, you actually have to physically burn it. And in fact, they bring you Gemara and Tmura, which this will be another discussion of Rashi, how Rashi is even allowing you to do this. But the Gemara and Tmura sounds very, very clear that Truma Tmeya is listed as something that has to be burned, and there's no other proper method of disposing of it.
Even on
a chol. So therefore, when it comes to Shabbat and Yontif, you don't have to answer how you can't give it to your dog, because you're never allowed to give it to your dog. This is the way Tosfos go. Okay.
How do you learn the Mishnah then? Isn't that a problem?
Why? Where does the Mishnah say anything about that?
The Mishnah doesn't talk about giving to a dog. It says you can't move it.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Just Moksa. And it's Moksa because you can't burn it, you can't eat it. Now, Tosfos then asks, but how can we compare Truma Tmeya to Kachim Tmeim? Burning Kachim Tmeim will never have any Sorech for the person. But on the other hand, burning Truma Tmeya, you know, for example, as a candle, for your meal, under
that's
a meal,
as
Tosfos say.
That's what I'm saying.
Ah, okay, so there we go. I didn't understand it then, right. But now this is Tosfos' question. That has a formal tsaref. So why can't you... Say Tosfos, we understand with kudshim. What are you going to do with your kudshim? Stick it under your pot? You can't do that. But with truma, you can. So Rabbeinu Yitzchak answers, the first answer of Tosfos here, is that when it has a dual tsorech, tsorech hedyot and tsorech gavoa, the tsorech gavoa actually overpowers and is mivatel, annuls the tsorech hedyot, leaving it with no formal tsorech at all, meaning it's only tsorech gavoa now, and therefore it's going to be prohibited, because it's no longer a tsorech that makes you allowed to do it on Yom Tov. That's Tosfos's answers. And then Tosfos go back to go back earlier in the Masechta. Rav Ada Bar Ahava has a discussion in the Mishnah argument of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel about different Nedarim and Nedavos. If they can't be brought, Tosfos tries to bring a proof from there. Tosfos then decides that this is not a good answer to say that the Tzorach Gavoa nullifies the Tzorach Hedyot in these cases, because what about roasting a Korban Pesach? There's a Tzorach Gavoa of roasting your Korban Pesach, but you're still allowed to do that on Yom Tov. And it should also overpower, so to say, the Tzorach Hedyot and make that Aser. So we've got a big problem. So Tosfos say, rather, the Iker of Nedarim and Nedavos is Tzorach Gavoa, and that's why they're prohibited. It all depends on the Iker, but it's not that it will be Mevatel any Tzorach Hedyot. And therefore, Tosfos conclude, the real reason how we can compare Truma Tmeah to Kachim Tmeim has nothing to do with Tzorach Gavoa and Tzorach Hedyot and all those things. It's simply a Gzera, Truma Atu Kachim. If we let you burn Truma on Yom Tov, where you eventually might come to do kachim, which will not be allowed. Different versions of Tosfos in different places around Shas. We don't have any. I was disappointed to see we don't seem to have many other Balei Tosfos and different versions of Tosfos here in Beitza. But in other places in Shas, Tosfos say, you know, we're scared you might burn it at a time when you won't have Hana. And the Rajba actually quotes that in the first source that we're going
to
see.
Why can't we do that with the giving it to the Kelev also? Then? We say we're making Zera, but giving it to the Kelev, to all these. Well, because if you give it to a caliph,
Not relevant for Tosfos, because you can't give Truma Tmeah to a caliph.
I'm saying not for Tosfos, but say for Rashi, for another perspective.
It could be that would be another perspective. For Rashi, though, it's all falling under that Achshavei. Again, as we're going to explain now in the Shir.
Rashi says it's Achshavei. You still could say you're not going to give it a caliph, Atu, because then you might start burning.
You could say that. I mean, I don't see what would be wrong. The question is only, how far do we go with these Gzeros? You say, well, you can't give it to your dog because you might burn it, and if you might burn it, you might burn this other thing, and if you might burn this other thing, right? So it's a question of how many leaps you want to take, but ostensibly that could make sense. So now here we'll get to the actual, you know, Eon section of the Shir. And I was having a lot of trouble understanding this last line of Rashi, which we quoted. Tosfos is nice just for you to hear. I'll reference any part of Tosfos that we need in the Shir when we get there, if we need it. But the main thing is to just remember the Rashi, which we read inside. You can always keep on peeking back at that Rashi throughout. And the big problem is, what is going on at the end? What does Rashi even mean? Rachmana achshav elahav arasa and dechsiv vayishi tzarev helkach malachahi. What does that mean? So let's take a look at the first source on the source sheet, which is the Rajba. Again, I'm not going to bother you with all the stuff that he has at the beginning that relates to Tosfos a little bit. He doesn't like Tosfos. He brings other version of Tosfos. He also talks about things that can't be burned. Not really important. Let's jump to the bold part. If you look in source number one of the Rajba, V'Rashi Zal Pirish Kan, D'Gzeras HaKasifu De'ein Sorfim Kachim B'Yom Tov. Rashi says, D'Gzeras HaKasif, that you may not burn Kachim on Yom Tov.
And what's the Kasif?
Ba'eshi Saref.
Ba'eshi
Saref. Ukvar Kasafti B'Shabes Perak Bam Madlikin, and I looked there and it wasn't any clearer than here. Gabe'ein Madlikin B'Shem and Srefa B'Yom Tov. By that halacha, which is again about Truma Tmeya and burning it on Yom Tov, that's prohibited. Disrefas kachim mitzvahi. Burning kachim is a mitzvah. V'kevan shekein. Since that's the case, havyala melacha de al karcho tzarech l'srefa. It's considered a melacha because, against his will, despite whatever he's trying to do with the nair, he's trying to use it to light his house, he needs it to actually be burnt in order to be mekayim his mitzvah. Ulefikach, and therefore aser. Anybody get that?
I don't understand that.
I didn't get it either. I don't think most of us got it. The Rajma seems to be saying is that since it's a malacha, he's referring to the havara likely.
Right.
There's a malacha of havara going on here. Now, we're burning this Truma Tmeya oil, let's say. What's happening is, says the Rajba, despite the fact that you may be using it for your light, you need that sreifa to happen, so you're burning your truma tmeya. So he seems to be focusing somewhat on the tzorach aspect of it. Well, it doesn't really seem to be a tzorach so much, because at the end of the day, you need the truma tmeya to be burnt. So you're saying you're burning it, why? To light up your dining room. But no, you need the truma tmeya to be burnt as a mitzvah.
So maybe it's not enough.
So because it's a mitzvah, and, well, really burning kachim, and by extension, burning truma tmeya. So since it's a mitzvah, therefore, in this case, we're going to say it's prohibited under the malacha of hafara.
Maybe because it's not ochel nefesh. Maybe the only...
No, but you can find cases of ochel nefesh. You can, again, a ner is considered for ochel nefesh. We're talking about a case where you're doing it for ochel nefesh.
But he's saying that whatever you think you're doing it for...
is not really...
what you're doing it for. You're doing it for seifa, that's not ochel nefesh. And therefore...
Correct.
It doesn't come onto the mitoch of ochel nefesh.
Right.
Correct. That's what seems to be happening. Now, here we'll take questions.
Okay, I'm not sure how we hold regarding malacha on yanta. The question is whether malacha is deferred or whether a malacha is totally
excellent. Cut to. So that's where we're going to be going later, a little bit later on in this year. Now, note that the Rashba is recording Rashi's Shita. Very important to keep in mind. This is not the Rashba's own Shita. He's saying, Rashi is al-Pirish, and this is how he's understanding Rashi. Meaning, since Rashi says it's a mitzvah, therefore, when someone is burning this truma oil, they are doing it because they want to be mekayim the mitzvah. And essentially, they have no longer any sake. I mean, nobody pulls in mitzvahs lav lehanos nitnu, and neither do I want to. But basically, when you're burning this truma oil, despite the fact that you're saying it's for your dining room light, it doesn't matter. The fact that it's a mitzvah shows us that that's what you're doing it for, and therefore you can no longer apply the rules of mitoch or whatever else. If you want to see it, yes.
But is it aser and hana?
Is what aser and hana?
Tumas kachin.
No, truma is not aser and hana. Kachin is aser and hana.
Yeah, but we're not talking about the kachin.
But it doesn't matter. We're talking about the truma oil.
Truma oil.
Well, truma tmeya oil, really. Right?
So is that, yeah.
Meaning you need to burn it.
Is it aser b'hana?
It's not aser b'hana.
You can't burn kachim for l'hana. You can't burn kachim.
No, truma you can't.
Well, kachim you can't put in your candle anyways.
Right.
Kachim you have to burn, you know, in the right place at the right time.
Right.
It's very hard to actually be nana from them, even if you say you're going to warm up. It's not aser b'hana.
It has to be burned.
Correct. This mitzvah is to burn it, and therefore, Rashi is saying, because the mitzvah to burn it, we're assuming when you're burning it, it's not for your hana, but rather for the burning purpose. Okay, that's the Rashba. Now, if you wanted to clarify this a little bit, for those of us who are confused, the footnotes in the Cook, in the Musadar of Cook Rashba, they actually note the Ramban, who discusses this in Shabbos there. And he seems to explain very, very similarly, and a way of really fleshing out the Rashba, which I tried to do the best. And he says it very, very clearly. Aval Baperek Ein Sadin in Source Beis. Matzasi shekasav Rashi zal af agav dehar lakas aner beyom tov tzorach achilahu umotar vafilvachi b'shem etzreif aloh dikzer as akasav ish in kachim tmeim yisparim beyom tov terachmana achshvei lahav aras and tchziv vayish yisreif okach malachahi. This until now is a quote of Rashi. Perush leferusho. Okay, so everybody realized that Rashi wasn't so easy to understand, even the Ramban. Matzas, I'll explain you what Rashi means. Mishum de'ikar kavanaso shel adam b'sreif azo le'mitzvah shel gavoah. Obviously, because it's a mitzvah, the main focus of anyone when they're burning it is to be mekayim the mitzvah. V'tzorach hedyot mimelahu da'asi. It's just a side point, but it doesn't really count. Okay, so this so far is really how the other Rishonim, the Rashba and Ramban, interpret Rashi. And as we're going to see, there's going to be a lot of problems. But first, I'm going to try to bring in another approach, which I saw in the early Achronim and later Achronim, where I saw first in the Magine Shlomo. Has anybody heard of the Magine Shlomo before?
No, I've heard of it.
Okay, Magine Shlomo is a very, very interesting Achron, early Achron, 1600s, I think. And he was the great-grandfather of the Pnei Yehoshua. He actually had Shalos Tshuvos that were known as Pnei Yehoshua. And why do you think his name is Magine Shlomo? What is a Magine?
Russia.
A shield, the guard of Shlomo, of Rashi. He was one of the first, if not the first, to be the Rashi crusader on the Gemara and defend Rashi from all that came against him.
What was his name? I'm trying to think. Because he had the same name.
He was also a Fok. Yeah, he was also a Fok. I don't remember his first name.
I think he had the same name, too.
Yeah, I think it's Joshua something. Yeah, I believe they were, yeah. I used to think they were grandfather, grandson, but the Pnei Yehoshua.
Using the word crusader might be inappropriate.
Yes, sorry. Yes.
An advocate.
an advocate for Rashi and a defender of Rashi, really. He's Magine Shlomo. So,
I think he was in Prague, if I recall.
Okay. I should have printed out the biography here. I didn't. I apologize. Anyways, you can tell that when there's going to be a tough Rashi, he's going to be there to try to explain Rashi. And here, he's trying to deal with Tosfos, but he actually deals with Tosfos in quite the funny way. On Rashi, Dilamai Chazi writes Vikashet, Tosfos say, Rashi, Dain Sorfin, Hachinam Yushum Torach. This is Tosfos' question. Where, again, going back to Tosfos, Tosfos asked this question at the beginning, just into the skinny lines here. Vikashet, if you see about 6 or 7 lines down in the middle of the skinny lines of Tosfos. Vikasha, ha de ein sorfin kachim yom tov hainu tamam mishum torach melacha la'asos eish v'la'asok misrei faso. He says the only reason why you can't burn kachim is because of the tircha involved in it. Aval hacha kishnosin achal lifnei kalvo ein kan shum torach melacha. Then why shouldn't it be permitted to put it in front of your dog? And this is a question on Rashi. How can you compare the two cases? The reason why the burning case is not allowed is because of tircha. So says the Magen Shlomo on that, Lanyuta ati, ein lehaamin sheyatzza kusha mipi hatosfos. Says, if you ask me, I think it's impossible that Tosfos would ask such a dumb kasha. That's really what he says, though. De'im kain, im ein tzarech la'asos eish, kigon she'esh muchan lefanav, im kain, lefize hayamutter lister of kachim miyamtov. Says, one second. It's very, very clear that it's usher to burn kachim on Yom Tov no matter what. So if the fire is already lit, you can just toss it in because there's no tircha. Are you kidding me, Tosfos? You really think the reason why it's usher to burn kachim on Yom Tov is because of tircha? That's crazy. And he rejects it. He says, V'raya b'ruel azal d'plegi tanai perkelu ovrin keitzad mafrishin chala b'tuma b'yom tov u'ma'alahem kol ha'torach v'alo esh muchan lefanav sherei ofim matzos. We're worried about what to do with chal on Yom Tov. He says, toss it in the oven. He says, there's no way. It's completely not allowed. If you skip down, mikol makom in shum heter. If you go but 5 lines down, 5 words in. Ein shum heter listrof kodshim. Va'afilu delav davka naktinan hatosvas torach malacha. V'lasosei shala afagav deleka torach. Im mashlicha ve'esh mikol makom icha malacha. Shemarbe b'shal heves ve'ose al yedei hachala ish gadol. He says, maybe they weren't meaning to say tircha. They were just saying that when you put it in the fire, it's going to increase the amount of fire, and that's going to be the malacha. But certainly to say that it's just about tircha is ridiculous. It's impossible, says the Magine Shlomo. Now here's the important point where I, being someone who does not have a very good background in Beitza, meaning I've heard of some concepts relating to Hilchos Yom Tov before, but I certainly am not holding in it like you guys, so it's good that I had this Magine Shlomo here. And here's what he says, Mikol Makom, nevertheless, lo kashya l'Rashi zal klum. This is not a question on Rashi at all. You know why? De Rashi l'ta'amei. Rashi is going according to his own reasoning, de sfira lei, and this hopefully you guys remember, because apparently it's a famous sheet of Rashi. If not, I'm telling you now, it's a famous sheet of Rashi here. De havara hutra afilu shelo l'tzarech klal k'di isa perakama, what you mentioned earlier. When it comes to mitol shehutra l'tzarech hutra nami shelo l'tzarech, it means, since it is mutter in some cases, it is across the board mutter no matter what. You're allowed to perform this malach on Yom Tov according to Rashi. It doesn't matter if you have a tzorech, which is sort of like it, not like it, a little bit of a tzorech. Other Rishonim hold that way. You need to have a little bit of a tzorech in order to justify it. On the other hand, Rashi says, no, the whole malach is allowed. V'imkein ein malacha klal pa'asiyas ish b'yom tov. If so, this is not a question that can be asked on Rashi, that you're making more fire. Rashi would respond to you and say, heh heh, I don't care if you make more fire. Throw in anything you want into the oven. Now this is going to be a problem though, guys. Until now, how did the Rashba and the Ramban learn and understand Rashi?
That was a malacha, so, and you couldn't do it.
That it's a malacha, why? You're doing it only for the kachim. You're doing it only to burn the Truma Tmeya. Well, what would Rashi say to that? Gesundheit, go ahead. Do it only for the kachim. You don't need it, Tzorech. Havara is something which is allowed on Yom Tov. So how are you going to explain Rashi? It's very nice you're using this to get out of Tosa's question. What does Rashi mean then? And here he says something very interesting. He says, Ella desreifas kachim chashiva malacha. He says, burning kachim is considered a malacha. Dirachmana achshiva lehav arasan, umashem ivaran min haolam, zo hi hamalacha. Says the Megine Shlomo, and a number of other achronim, as we'll see, this that you are destroying kachim is a malacha on Yom Tov. What's a malacha called? Destroying kachim. Right? V'im kein hu hadin levi or kelev.
So it has nothing to do with being burning fire.
Correct. It has nothing to do with fire, according to Rashi, says the Megillah Shlomo.
Malacha number 40.
Malacha, exactly. Malacha number 40 that we pulled out of thin air. It's all about, says the Megillah Shlomo, destroying kachim, destroying truma. Rashi lumps all these together, and because the Torah tells us by Ishti Sarif that somehow makes it a malacha which is prohibited to do on Yom Tov. And this is the Megillah Shlomo's approach. Now, this approach serves us very useful and also helps us answer a stira that we found elsewhere in Rashi.
Sorry, where did Rashi find that anywhere else in Shas?
We are going to get to that, please.
Okay.
Yes. That is, you know, it's a tough... We do have the concept of achshaveh, but why to say that this should become a different malach on Yom Tov is hard to understand. I will certainly agree, and we will address that.
Okay.
That's basically where we're going with the shir, because again, Rashi right now doesn't make sense. On the one hand, you may try to follow the Rajba Ramban approach, but that's inconsistent within Rashi's...
He said it's a gzeris akasim, didn't he?
Yes, but what is the gzeris akasim do?
Yeah.
It's a gzeris akasim of what? So the Megillah Shlomo says it's a gzeris akasim
of burning kachim on Yom Tov, right?
But that's
yes. So that it's a so Rashi invents a new chok.
Yeah.
Right.
Says aser to burn kachim on Yom Tov, aser to destroy, not
learn,
burn.
Did he learn it from
Zera Shava from a rabbi? I don't think so. I mean, there's another sugya where it discusses all the different psukim that we may learn these different things out, which, you know, again, in my first day, I wasn't able to cover everything in Shas related to this. But, you know, hopefully, we could probably spend about 4 weeks to 5 weeks on this sugya alone. So we'll start with 1 week, and we'll see where we end up if people get bored by then. But right now, we've got a bit of a problem with explaining Rashi. On the one hand, we have this Rajba Ramban, who seems to be saying that there's an issue that the achshaveh turns it into a malacha of havara, which is inconsistent within Rashi. On the other hand, we have this Megillah Shlomo, which, you know, seems to need a little bit of help. Now, if we take the Megillah Shlomo's Sfara, it's actually very interesting. If you skip over to Source Dalid, which we just finished Gimel, it's not skipping, but if you go over there, we have a very interesting discussion in Psachim. And let me eventually reference my notes for this one. Okay, here we go. So... It's one of the big machloksim. I don't remember how many ways it is, to be honest. But the point is, Rabbi Akiva has his opinion. This is not Rabbi Yehuda or Rabbi Akiva about how you can get rid of chametz.
Oh, okay.
That's
no,
something
no,
else.
That's
we tried in the conclusion of the Gemara, we're going to try to prove
yeah.
that Rabbi Akiva holds a certain
right,
way.
Right, right.
But that's Rabbi Yehuda Chachamim of
right.
how many ways you can get rid of chametz.
Right.
So Rabbi Akiva Omer, Eino Tzarech. So basically, the Gemara in Pesachim quotes the opinion of Rabbi Akiva that burning chametz on the first day of Pesach is totally prohibited. Harehu Omer Ach Bayam Harishon Tashbish Zarmi Batechem Uchsiv Komal Chalo Sasu Umatzinul Havarashi Av Malacha. Basically, Rabbi Akiva's opinion is you cannot be burning chametz on the first day of Pesach. Chametz must only be burned on Erev Pesach. Why? Because it's not allowed to burn chametz on the first day of Pesach. So says the Gemara, based on this Shita, Amar Rava, after the three dots, Shma Mina Midrabi Akiva Tlas. I can tell you three things about Rabbi Akiva's opinion. Number one, says Rava, Shma mina ein biur chametz ela sreifa. We learn from this fact that Rabbi Akiva says, you cannot burn chametz on the first day of Pesach. That what? The only way to get rid of chametz is to burn it. Pause for a moment. Why is it that just because Rabbi Akiva said you can't burn chametz on the first day of Pesach, that ein bir chametz el asreifa?
That doesn't follow at all.
Why not?
Well, all he's saying is you can't do it on that day. That doesn't mean there aren't any other methods of...
Well, if there would be other methods, would Rabbi Akiva say that you can't get rid of chametz on the first day of Pesach? If there were other methods of getting rid of chametz besides for burning, would Rabbi Akiva say that you could get rid of chametz on the first day of Pesach?
Sure.
The assumption of the Gemara is absolutely yes.
Right.
Therefore, from the fact that he says there's nothing to do on the first day of Pesach, there's no way to get rid of chametz, that proves that the only way that he would approve of for chametz removal is to say burning. Because otherwise, what might he tell you? And here's where Rashi comes in, says Rashi, Mi delo nafka le dehai yom rishon erev yom tovu, from the fact he doesn't learn this out, Ela mishum de asra lahavir be yom tov, just, it's only that he holds that it's prohibited 2, burn your chametz on Yom Tov. Shema mina, we hear, sphere like Rabbi Yehuda, that he holds like Rabbi Yehuda. De'amar lekaman bekerak kalsha, that he says later on in Perak kalsha, ein bir chametz ela streifa, the only way to get rid of chametz is streifa. V'yalef laminosar, and explains Rashi, what's the logic behind it? De'i hashbasa so bechal davar. If he holds, you can get rid of it in any way. You can throw it into the wind, you can feed it to your dog. Sphere le, look me be Yom Tov. Why then wouldn't you be able to burn it on Yom Tov? V'yivarenu b'davar acher. You can get rid of it in another way, such as feeding it to your dogs, throwing it into the sea.
But there's another law that prohibits you from owning chametz on the first day of Yom Tov. So how would that possibly follow logically?
Right. I'm not sure what you're asking. Meaning, when Rabbi Akiva makes a statement in the Gemara, it's about how he wants to learn a drasha about the words Bayom HaRishon. And he learns that by Yom HaRishon, he doesn't learn that it has to be on Erev Yom Tov, only because of the fact that you're not allowed to burn it on the first day. The point of the Gemara is very simple. Take everything out of the equation and say, Rabbi Akiva says you cannot get rid of chametz on the first day of Pesach. You know why not? And we're talking about from the burning aspect, from the Yom Tov aspect of it. And he must hold from here, says Rava, that the only way to get rid of it is burning, says Rashi, because if he held that there was another way to get rid of it, you could throw it into the wind, you could feed it to your dog on the first day of Yom Tov. Putting aside the context from before, the point of the Gemara is Shema Mina, that we learn from Rabbi Akiva's opinion that he only must allow burning of chametz to get rid of it, because if he allowed other methods, then you could do those on the first day of Yom Tov.
Why wouldn't you just say that's just simply the most common method of getting rid of
chametz? Because then you don't say that we are certain from what Rabbi Akiva said that he must hold of this opinion.
That's what the Gemara says, but it looks like a bit of a leap to basically say...
You have to see the context there.
Yeah, just because he says sorfen, I mean, that doesn't mean he's restricting it to just sorfen. For the concept of beer chametz.
But again, if I make a... For example, let's say like this. I make a statement that... let me think of a good comparison. It's important for the... We can move on. Okay.
Especially holding difference between chametz and between...
So yes, there's a big problem. The problem is Rashi says very clearly here in Rashi that guess what?
You can feed it to dogs.
You can feed your chametz to dogs on Yom Tov. Whatever happened to Rashi's whole idea that all burning is the same? Okay? Mm-hmm. Whatever happened to that? Mm-hmm. So the Pnei Yoshua asks this question. He says, Lachar Eon Nir Li Liyashev, and we started the bowl, Divadai B'midi De'ikr Mitzvaso B'Sreifa Davka Ba'inan, Sheyehe Mushbas Ligamri Min Ha'olam. What does Sreifa mean? Sreifa means it has to be completely destroyed from the world. V'im kein Tzuleka L'meimar D'yachline L'klavim. Therefore, it would be impossible to feed the dogs. Hecha di after bistreifa. Dis sof sof hanami melacha. He cave on the kapit kra, she yehe mevor min haolam dafka. Okay? And he says, if we're talking about that it has to be burnt, it means it needs to be totally destroyed from the world. So, even if we were allow you, so to say, to feed it to dogs, it would be there the same way as if you were burning it. Meaning that the key is to get rid of it, and that the Torah considers what you're doing getting rid of it. His point is like this. V'zeshekas of Rashi Beitza, let's just hear how he tries to answer it. D'rachmana achshev l'sreifaso, siv v'ish tisareif, v'mitzfaso ubiuro min ha'olam haynu malacha, d'kap d'rachmana shalo lasos b'yom tov, ma'she'en k'ni ha'visfer l'la rekiva d'chametz eino. Basically what he says is like this. The cases between Psachim and here are very different. The case in Psachim is that if he doesn't hold that it's only allowed with Sreifa, why do you have to get rid of your Chametz? If you don't hold that there's a mitzvah Sreifa on Chametz, what did you say before? Balyera Balyematzeh. If that's the case, then the Torah is not being machshiv anything in any way. There's no achshive whatsoever in that case. It's just get the chametz out of your house. Why? Because of Balyera Balyematze. But there would be nothing telling us, says the Pnei Yehoshua, that you have to get rid of the chametz in some way. So therefore, there Rashi would agree that if you're giving it to your dog, it's totally fine because you're giving it to your dog not to accomplish the same thing that you're doing here of the achshive of Sreifas Kachim Tmeim.
You're avoiding
a losase, and that you can do whatever you want, but there's no achshevei there to tell you that it's like burning. That's the difference between the two cases. Yes.
Isn't also Sabana?
Chametz?
Yeah. Of course.
Yes. So what?
So how can you make a comparison between something that's Mutrabana and something that's Asabana?
Why not?
Because they're completely different scenarios. I mean, how do you feed...
What's the problem?
How do you feed your caliph chametz on Pesach?
I mean, if you're allowed to get rid of it in that way, which is what the poskim hold, that's not hana. You're just getting rid of the... You're getting rid of the chametz, or you throw it into the wind, whatever the case may be.
That's
it's irrelevant.
That's the mission. The Gemara says it's also
Chametz. You're not giving it to your dog to feed it. I don't know if perhaps in some cases that's allowed. I mean, I don't know. I don't know exactly what the answer to that question would be.
I don't know how Rashi makes that comparison between throwing it in the yam and feeding it to your dog.
I don't think you're saying feeding it to your dog is a meal. I'm saying is throwing it away, and the dog takes it to the dog. Exactly.
Also happens to the dog happens to also. Get satisfied. You don't have to give it anything else.
Well, if those things,
right, or exactly. There's dogs in the neighborhood. Stray dogs in the neighborhood. You're not doing anybody a favor.
It's not really hana, you know.
Yeah, I would say that's probably the simplest approach. To say that it's not your dog. You're not getting anything from it.
I mean, there's something that might be bothering you that's bothering me a little bit because... you know, on the one hand, we're saying that it's xeras akasav, but on the other hand, we're giving reasons. You know, we're giving olaps as far as here, which.
Well, we need to understand what the xeras akasav is.
No, I understand that's what we're saying, but it's a little bit circular because once we have all these svaras, then we don't really need xeras akasav anymore. Because
wrong, because then you can't compare the two cases, and not only that, but you can't say that the svaras are correct, meaning. The svaras are essentially saying, what is the Gzeiras HaKasuv telling us? So if the Gzeiras HaKasuv is telling us that this now makes it that there can't be a tzorech for this havara, meaning like, let's say, the Ramban and the Rashba, right? Where they explained Rashi as saying the fact that the Gzeiras HaKasuv here is to say that burning Truma Tmeya and burning Kachim Tmeim is the only intent you can have when you're burning them. Without the Gzeiras HaKasuv, you can't say that.
Okay, but just going back one step. The svaras are all about kochi. The gzera is applying it to truma. So in other words, all the svaras is to tell us that you can't burn kochi on yantav.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then the gzera katuv is applying that svara to the gzera that you can't, that it extends it to truma.
Well, really, Rashi makes that extension. It's not really the pasuk. The pasuk is really only talking about kochi. Yeah, and that's...
The svaras is one thing, and the gzera is...
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense to me, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Perfect. So the Pnei Yeshua pulls it in later, and his bold point here basically to say, you know, that at the end of the day, if you look at the bold, V'od yesh lomar d'nehida asr levar kachim b'yom tov af shelo derech treifa, afilu hachi lo have milacha gemura. He says, just note, by the way, that despite that burning kachim on yantif is even not derech treifa, is asr, it's not a milacha gemura, ela isura be'alma. He also adopts this line of thinking of his great-grandfather, that it seems to be that when Rashi is saying here that you can't burn Kachim Tmeim on Yom Tov, you can't burn Truma Tmeim on Yom Tov, it's not really about the actual Malacha of Havara, V'ator Amar Lo Saseh Kol Malacha. Alma Desfir Le Ein Bi'ur Chametz El Esreifa Kenirali, this is how he explains the Sugya there, but we see this far cropping up again there. We see something very interesting in the Sri Deish. In the interest of time, I'll skip it now. If we have time later, we can go back to it. But... Spoiler, I didn't like what he had to say. But he does sort of throw in this svara. And the Oneg Yom Tov is actually the person who directly asks the question about Rashi's Shita earlier on, right? That Rashi earlier says that, again, all Havara is mutter on Yantif. So how then can you say it? And his answer is exactly, Uchmokin Kashal Rashi, if you look in the bold part of source number 8. Uchmokin Kashal Rashi Zal. Tekasa vehedya bebeitza daf yud beizdimi doraisa enu tzarech tzarech tzas klal. You don't need any tzarach whatsoever. So if so, name agabe sreifa kachim mitoch. So even sreifas kachim should be allowed because of mitoch. Because again, there's nothing wrong with burning. Aval afi mashakasa Rashi dimeleches habiur mechshav melacha asi shapir. He says this works very well. The al habiur lo shayach mitoch klal dimitoch lo shayach ela bimelacha sheosim osalif amim letzarach hediot kimo havara uvishol vechadome veamrino mitoch shetrozoch shenamish lo tzarach aval meleches. Quote unquote, mitzvahs habiur, right? Malacha number 40, as we said before. Lo shayach gabe tzorach hedyot. There's no Tzarech Hed Yod there.
He's taking it away.
He's taking it away. He's saying it's Melacha number 40.
It has nothing to do with us. You can't learn.
Correct.
Anything.
And therefore,
and
we don't.
And therefore, it's only the Kohanim. So therefore, don't even talk about it for Hed Yod. So we can't even learn anything from this, really, in terms of.
Meaning it's just no longer a problem with Rashi.
Right.
Because you're not doing a Melacha of Havara, you're doing
right.
a Melacha of Mitzvah Habir.
Right.
Melacha number 40. Again.
Right.
So therefore, this is the Svara that's brought
it's
down to answer
it's
Rashi's Shita.
That's not a real Melacha. They only
okay.
have nobody else.
So now we get
like
so no,
correct.
They're the only ones who have that mitzvah of that. Nobody else has that.
I mean,
well, I may have yet. Whatever. I have no shakas to it at all.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know exactly in which cases who's responsible for burning kachim tmeim. If someone brought a korban, perhaps it could be the bialim. I don't know. This is again because of lack of knowledge.
Okay, we'll look it up, but I don't think about you know. It's certainly truma, you know, it's only coin, right?
Yep. Right, then as
he has a mitzvah to burn.
Yeah.
What?
And as he concludes, Dinahid
al Makad. Howie, what do you think about the coin and stuff like that?
Yeah.
I think it's the quality. Okay.
Yeah.
Right?
Give you more work to
listen, you guys don't pay me with the shuck and everything else. I'm not burning the truma.
I'll give you the shuck anytime you want.
Right? And again, so therefore he says there's no such thing as Tzarech Hed Yod when it comes to this new magical malacha of mitzvah sabir. So now we get finally to the Balabais' question. If you look in the Chazam Sofer, Chelek Arachayim, Simkuf Nun Aleph, source number Tess, and with here he brings out the question, and as we're going to see, doesn't really give us a great answer. V'inei, mashihizbir Rashi, dirachmana achshevei lehav arasa, uch'ilu asa malacha biyom tov, and he looks at how he adds in different words for Rashi here, him divarim timuhim she'en hadas sovlo. This doesn't make any sense. The chikol mitzvos to achshivinu rachmana asurim lekaimam b'shabes v'ayidei chashivas mitzvaso naase ke'av malacha. He's taking the interpretation of the beginning shalom and the Pnei Yoshua for granted, and he's saying any mitzvah in the Torah now is asur to perform on Shabbos and Yom Tov because it's a new malacha. V'lo kol achilas, for example, his great example here. V'lo kol achilas kachim k'dei shelo yovol li denosar mitzvah sasei d'oraisehi. The idea of eating korbanos is a mitzvah to say the oraisa. V'yiyah aser b'shabes derachmana achshevei. V'ayeh haseichel hagozer kein. What's going on here? Right? He's saying, the Bnei Yoshua, the Meginei Shlomo, the Oneg Yontov, they're all explaining Rashi as, again, creating Malacha number 40. Well, how does this become a Malacha, asks the Chazam Sofer. You can't just invent Malachas out of thin air because it's a mitzvah, therefore it's a Malacha. It's no, you're prohibited to do it on Shabbos and Yontov. What? He can't go for that. He says, "Ach divrei Elokim chayim hema, kevan bitruma gufei loksiv bior, ach asya misreifas kodshim." He says, if you look at truma itself, it doesn't actually say bior. You learn it from sreifas kodshim. Vishuv amrinan bior de achilas behema bitruma hava kesreifa bikodshim. Imkein rachmana ach shevela yachila b'makom sreifa. Uchshem shasta lister of kodshim biyomtuf huadin aser lahachol truma lebehema biyomtuf dahainu sreifasa. He says everything like burning it, and therefore umimela yasek yafek kasav rashi lerabanan. Dechametz hashbasa so bechal davar hayamuter lahashbis biyom tov deein hashbasa b'makom streifa v'lo shayach rachmana ach shevei mash egel madarim biur chametz ala streifa minosar yalfinan, and there you would have an ach shevei case. Meaning he goes to tie back into psachim. I don't want to focus on psachim. I just want to focus what he's saying here. His point is, it's absolutely inconceivable to follow the Meginei Shlomo, the Bnei Yoshua, and everybody's interpretation of Rashi to say that we've invented a new malacha, because where do you see it in the rest of the Torah? What's going on here? Now, what does he really answer? He really says, oh, well, since we're learning it all from Sreifas Kodshim, and any method of destroying this is like Sreifa, therefore, it's going to be Asur on Yom Tov. Has anybody ever heard of a circle? What we've gone is in a giant circle, right back to square one, to Rashi, where we're going to have to be forced to answer as the Rajpa and the Ramban did. Now, what's the problem with that? They're not consistent with Rashi. Rashi says you don't need it, Tzorech.
Right.
So it's very nice you're calling this all Sreifa, but you haven't answered anything. Officially stumped? Or unofficially stumped? Okay, so here's what I came up with, and I do believe this is actually something that you can read in, first of all, the number of the Mefarshim here that I missed the first time around, but also something that, you know, take it or leave it. It's definitely not Mukhrach, but I'd like to suggest the following. If we look back at Rashi, there's no more pages.
Oh, okay.
This is, all the pages are to set you up.
Okay.
Take out your pens and pens. No, okay. If you look back
at Rashi,
when Rashi says, Dirachmana achsheve lehav arasan dichsiv ba'ishi saref. When Rashi says the Torah considers their Havana, meaning Kachim Tmeyim, and as a result the compared case of Truma and the compared case of Chala, to be a Malacha, he's not attempting to create a new kind of Malacha like we've been assuming until now. Rather, he's trying to create what I would call, and you can say this however you want, but what I would call a subcategory of Havara. Right? If you read, he's saying, Achsheve lehav arasan. Their havara, the burning of kajim, the burning of truma, the burning of chala, that is what the Torah considers a type of burning. So when Rashi says mitoch, and when Rashi says mitoch about havara, back on Yud Beis, Yud Daled, wherever it was, it applies to the subcategory of burning, but regular burning. There are two types of burning. There is one Torah type of burning, which is the regular burning. You light something on fire, it burns. And that's a Malach on Yom Tov. But because the Torah talks about Kachim and saying Ba'ishi Saref, it's saying there's another type of burning. There's a subcategory within this Malacha. There's regular burning, and there's also a burning of Kachim. And that is considered a type of Havara. Now, what this means is, in the case where we have permitted cases of Havara, such as for Ochel Nefesh and all these things, that's fine. But when it comes to this type of Havara, meaning we're now incorporating it into the Malacha, we're saying there is a Havara which the Torah considers a regular Havara, and there is Havara which the Torah considers a special type of Havara called Ba'ish Yisareif. Because the Torah says it's burning in fire, that's what Havara is. And therefore when someone is burning their Kachim Tmeim, when someone's burning their Truma Tmeya, that's a separate type of burning from your regular burning. And when all those Rishonim said, and when all those Achronim said that in that case, because it's a mitzvah, there's no tzorach hediot, it's not shayach to mitoch, is because it's a different subcategory of burning. This type of burning, it's true, never has a case where it's litzorach. It never has a case where it's allowed. And when Rashi's Rahmana achshuvei lahav arasan,
except for truma. The kohen is allowed.
Correct,
to have
the truma and kachim.
But they're two separate things.
But so the way Rashi is explaining it, I believe, and again, I see this, I'll read it, I can read it to you in a couple of them, in Mefarshim. But what the point is to say that despite the fact that you may be burning truma oil in your light, despite the fact you may be burning, well, kachim's not so relatable, but chala, and there's something happening that you're getting benefit from, according to the Torah, there are two acts of burning going on here. There's the achsheve burning, that there's burning truma, and that has no element of heter ever. There's also a separate burning going on, but the fact that Rachmana Achsheve Lehav Arasan is talking about that element of the Malacha. And if that's the case, you don't have the problem of Rashi's Mitoch, because Rashi's Mitoch is talking about regular burning. This is another type of burning. You can't say Mitoch from that type of burning to this type of burning.
When Rashi was Matir burning, if he was Shalom Tzorah,
correct.
He wasn't including this type of
was,
yes, because in this type of what
the Torah put a limitation on the
correct,
on the
and the mitoch shehut shel tzorach shenamish lo tzorach is talking about a burning where tzorach is possible, but here tzorach is impossible. There's never a case because the Torah is making this again its own category of burning. This is a separate burning, so to say. So the mitoch can't be applied here. There's not any case where you can say yes, this is a good reason. This is allowed. This is a
is
proper burning. What?
Because it's for Gavoa in some ways. It's like totally
correct.
Different.
It's totally Gavoa. And therefore,
right.
There's no Tzorach that's even possible. So
that's
why Tosis is trying. By definition, I think it's a little bit like Tosis.
At the end is trying to say it's only for Gavoa.
Right, but Tosfos ends up rejecting that because of Chametz. The difference between what I'm saying and Tosfos is that Tosis is saying when you have two things going on in the same Melech as Habior,
right.
That the Gavoa is going to nullify
right.
The Hedyot.
Right.
I'm not saying that. I'm saying they're both happening simultaneously. There's a regular burning, but they're different burnings. Because the Torah says, I want this burning to count always, it's going to be slightly different.
So the Havara here is so that it does, in the Truma, so it doesn't exist, and so you have
correct.
The ability to give it to the dog. Forget burning for a second.
So that's exactly where we're going. So now, that definition of Havara, though, is different than regular burning, because that Havara is all about destruction.
Right.
And that's what I think is different. The Torah is saying any destruction of Truma is falls under the category of Havara. Yes, it's a subcategory of burning, And that's a malacha that you're doing, but it's slightly different than the other havaras. And therefore, you can't apply mitoch from one to the other, so you've solved Rashi's problem. On the other hand, we have a malacha that's not just something floating in the air. It's not the Chassam Sofer's question can't really be asked anymore. Because we're really saying it's, on the one hand, part of a malacha before, on the other hand, distinct enough that we can't apply the mitoch because the logic is completely different. This is about destruction. There's nothing ever positive coming from destruction. Destruction is, by definition, destructive. So, if that's the case, even if you're burning this Trumah or Kachim for a Tzorech, again, there's two things happening. The food is being burnt permissibly for a Tzorech, on the one hand, but because of what the Torah says, the Trumah or Kachim is being destroyed for no Tzorech at all. And therefore, you cannot apply mitoch either way, but you do have a svara as to why Rashi would then say that the achshavei makes it into a malacha, the malacha of havara, in a different sense.
So what I'm trying to say is, a kohen is allowed to use the trumah, to burn the trumah and have hadar from it, right?
Yes.
Yes, which is a little bit different kachim, right?
Where yes.
So what I'm saying is, even then, you can say, I'm just going to say, because it's gavoha, right?
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, it's a different category altogether, and therefore
correct. The fact that the truma is being destroyed,
right,
is the different part of havar.
Right.
Yes.
Okay.
So if that's the case, I think that can really be read into a number of the different mafarshim here. I mean, I think you can look through it yourselves. You're welcome to see if it fits. But I'm also open for feedback. I guess it's a little briskerish. On the one hand, that we're saying it is a malacha, and it isn't really a malacha. It is the malacha of havara, but it's not the same one as before. But what I do think that this can sort of answer up, either based on the approach of the Megine Shlomo and others to answer the Chassam Sofer's question, or even to take it from the perspective of the Rajba and the Ramban, and to say why the question of Rashi on Mitoch doesn't apply is because it's somehow distinct from the other parts of Malachas Havar. That's what I'm proposing, and take it or leave it. Thank you very much.
It still seems, in the final analysis, that taking the two concepts together, where you say it's destructive, and the destructive nature of it is significant in what you're doing, but it's still mutter bahana. I mean, how do you rationalize those two?
What's mutter bahana? the fact that the kohen can have hana from the truma?
Yeah,
the truma, what's he doing? We have truma to me, and he's having hana from it, let's say, he's allowed to. What's he doing?
It's not a destructive act.
It is completely a destructive act. It's a destructive act accompanied by a different act taking place.
Yeah,
because the Torah says Va'eshti Sarek, it's saying you got to get rid of Truma. That's what is going on in that scenario. The fact that he's also burning it elsewhere, right, and the fact that it's also giving off light, is the other type of Havara.
Yeah, I think that it makes sense. For example, you have a piece of wood that's clutching, right?
Right.
So,
you can turn off the recording.
Yeah. So you're
not that you don't like
putting it. So you burn the wood. You burn the wood,